Okay. Yes. Let me. I'm going to go to Jan first because she's been waiting, and then to John Tatum. Go ahead, Jan.
Why don't we have Mr. Tatum go first, and then me.
And Maxie.
Okay.
Also be on the
spot. Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Yes, Madam Chair. The statement that you read from the bylaws about the airtime and the question that Lawrence brought up. Are we talking about listener candidates only? In other words, staff are forbidden from doing it. That's my question.
That's correct. It says here, I'll read the sentence again. All candidates for election as a listener, sponsor, delegate shall be given equal opportunity for equal airtime, which airtime shall include time for a statement by the candidate and a question and answer period with call-in listeners.
That is so that answers my question. I wanted you to read the very first sentence, just to be clear.
Yes. Thank you, John. Thank you for making sure that's really clear. Okay, next, Jan.
So I'm not 100% sure why our NES had us doing the forums at a place other than the station, but I think it may have had to do with the fact that those forums were videotaped and with the idea that having a video that people could watch in addition to just the audio may have been a persuasive factor, you know, a good quality video. And I just wanted to suggest that if we're going to change from the independent media centers to back to doing these at the stations, that we could, they could be videotaped and shown also. And that, you know, that probably if there was a small effort to either get a volunteer to do the videotaping or even hire somebody, that could be accommodated. But I do think that people may tend to like watching a video rather than just listening to the audio.
Back to the
chair. This is Lawrence to the staff.
Very good suggestion, Jan. Lawrence, I'm going to put you on the stack after anyone who has a question or comment who has spoken before gets a chance.
Mackie to the stack.
James to the stack as well, please.
Okay, Maxie and then James.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, I think there's a point where we have to ask if doing this at the stations that are not equipped with video production equipment and in some cases don't have the studio space or capacity to have a studio audience, don't have the proper lighting, and all those factors is so important when we have an option here where these centers, which are designed for production of video and have good sound and technical people as well, and in some cases I believe are donating the service or doing it at a very low-end cost. I think sometimes we have to look at what is in the best interest from a financial saving standpoint, a production quality standpoint, and a convenience with respect to those participating in person. I've been to some of these at the stations. They're very cramped and crowded. Production value of any video would be shoddy at best. And I just think if we have the opportunity to go to venues that are built for video production, I don't see how that really differs from the candidate perspective than going to the station. Either way, it's not their house. So I just want to put that in there as some consideration. And I think it is partly what drove Renee towards using media centers so that we would have a higher quality and a better production value.
Thank you, Max.
Madam Chair,
James?
Timekeeper,
James?
1 minute left. Timekeeper,
okay,
one minute left.
Thank you. Thank you, Mansoor. James, you have 1 minute.
Maxie just answered half of my question, but
okay.
I would be curious to know if we can get some actual data about what the costs are at the other locations so that we can compare them to the costs at the various stations. I know at WBAI, the building that we're in is owned by our landlord, who's very sympathetic to the station, and she provides us with her facilities downstairs at a cost, but I'm curious how it compares to the cost of going outside the station. I know that she has state-of-the-art facilities there for video. I'm just curious whether or not that was looked at, if Maxie happens to know.
I'd like to make a motion, Madam Chair.
One moment. Okay. Maxie, can you please ask Renee for that information if she has it, if possible? The next thing is, Lawrence, do you want to extend time for 3 minutes or so?
Yes, I'd like to extend time for 3 minutes.
Actually, Okay. Any objection to adding three minutes to this agenda item? Hearing none, Lawrence, go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you. I believe that that these media centers popped up as a result of the election timeline and the lateness of the election. So I think there was some hurry in having to produce some kind of communication to the listeners. I understand Matsy's concerns, but I'm just fed up with the bylaws being disregarded in regards to allowing listeners to have a fair assessment of the candidates, disregarding what my friend Bill Kozer said. I mean, this is something that I know my listeners are asking for, and it's in the bylaws, and we should try to adhere to these bylaws as much as we can, as the chair said. And in particular, this very important time where listeners have their rights possibly violated, and their rights should be respected.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Hold on a moment.
So would your motion include wording such as, the PNB directs the executive director and national election supervisor to implement Article 4, Delegate Section 6, fair campaign violations, and this clause, all candidates for elections, blah, blah, blah. I'll read it again. All candidates for election as a listener-sponsored delegate shall be given equal opportunity for equal airtime, which airtime shall include time for a statement by the candidate and a question-and-answer period with call-in listeners. Is that what you're trying to move?
Yes.
That the PNB, okay, can we have somebody put that in writing for the record?
Instead of implement, should say affirm.
Affirm
correct.
doesn't have any action to it.
Okay.
You have to say implement.
Implement.
In other words, actually have it done in this election.
Okay.
What you want to have is on-air candidate debates with
right.
call-in, listener call-in. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Listener calling questions is what he's concerned about.
Point of clarity.
Okay, go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, I thought the issue here is not whether or not we are following the format, but whether or not these have to be conducted at the station as opposed to a media center. So if maybe I got what this was all about wrong, but that's why I'm asking for a point of clarity, because if this motion is specific to having these events at the station as opposed to the media center, that to me is the question versus the format.
Okay,
no one's trying to subvert the format.
Maxie, I think it would be extremely difficult at these media centers to have the forums on our air.
Why is that? We have all the capabilities to do live broadcasts at every station. They do it.
Well, we don't. I don't think that Lawrence or any of us would care where these forums are held, as long as they're broadcast.
That's why I'm asking
on the air at our stations.
Right. That's the why I'm asking for the point of clarity, because if it's about being live and allowing Q&A and following the format, that's not really in question here. I don't think that's ever been the intent of the NES to subvert that. The issue of location, I thought, was the primary focal point of the debate here. And if so, and if we can follow the format of being live, allowing for Q&A and equal representation, all I'm arguing is that it just makes sense to take advantage if the costs are not excessive. And I think the question that was asked about the budget variance is important for her to answer. But if that is negligent, I don't know why we would insist on these having to happen at the station.
Jan
okay,
Goodman,
to
respond.
Information, Robin,
okay.
Point of information.
Jan right. Goodman. Okay, hold on. Robin, with a point of information, comes first. Go
well,
ahead.
Well, I'm a new person to this, and I'm reading the whole bylaw section. It seems to me the whole intent of this Article 4 is to have equal time. It actually doesn't say how much time, what kind of airtime, whether it's at a media center or at the radio. It has to do with equality, and it actually doesn't say how long. Is it a one-minute statement? Is it a 30-minute statement? Nothing's in the bylaws about that. It has to do with that no candidate can have more time than any other candidate. I think you should read it fresh and forget about whatever was done in the past. And I think Maxie's right. If it's broadcast, you know, as long as it's equal for all candidates, that's the intent of this whole section.
Okay, Jan.
Yeah, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but my point of reiteration, am
okay.
I wrong? It actually has no amount
I
of time.
Okay.
Go ahead,
to
Jan.
To respond to Maxie and with regard to what Lawrence is saying, the one of the key elements here that has nothing to do with location has to do with call-in questions. Now, if we could have call-in questions at the media center, then that's fine. But that's, I mean, one of the problems is if you are not live, then getting people to call in with questions is, you know, questionable. You know, it's a question. And I think that Lawrence was focusing us on the issue of listener call-ins. So if we could do, so it seems to me that if we could do these forums elsewhere, which I think we can, because obviously, you know, we have the ability to broadcast from community places, different places. So if we could broadcast it live so that, and also get call-in questions wherever it is. You know, with the miracle of cell phones, we could obviously take call-in questions wherever we are, but you'd have to do it live from those media centers. So that's, I think, those two things are tied in together.
Bill for the stack.
Thank you.
And tied into the bylaws.
Okay. Before I take Bill, can somebody put in writing and send to the PNB this motion? It's a serious motion.
Timekeeper, we are over the 4 minutes that we extended.
Okay. May I have a... I would entertain a motion to extend time for this agenda item by 7 minutes. Would anyone make that motion?
I second it.
Well, you have to move it, and then.
I'd like to make a motion. So move.
Okay. Anyone second?
Second. James second.
Okay. Any opposition to debating this for another 7 minutes? Hearing none. The first thing is we need a written motion to this effect so we can debate it further and vote on it. Does anyone out there understand what we're trying to...
This is Bill. Can I comment on that while we're waiting?
I understand
first,
what you mean.
Let's get somebody who's going to...
Chair?
Okay.
This is Lawrence. I have a question. So would me writing out this section of the bylaws, would that be sufficient as a motion? Just the implementation of section...
Actually, I can cut and paste the bylaws here. Let me do it. And how would you like to word it? That the PNB
requests that the NES implement section of the bylaws, section 4.
Article 4, delegate section 6.
Implement the following section
for
the selection cycle. Of the bylaws for the selection cycle.
For this.
Request for information.
Good. All right, so I'm going to take out everything else but this one sentence of the bylaws that we're talking about.
This is Adrian with a request for information.
Okay. Go ahead, Adrian.
I'm not sure if I heard this correctly, but didn't Maxie already say that that's already in the works? There's no reason for this motion because that is already being adhered to, Maxie?
I'm going to say that I don't believe that's correct because last year in the last election cycle, to my knowledge, none of the candidate forums were put on the air. None of them were broadcast, and there was no question and answer period. So I'm going to this is not a dilatory motion. It's actually an import. I think it's very valid, and I'm sending it as Lawrence dictated it right now to the PNB, and then I'm going to recognize Bill.
My question was only, but can I have my question answered by Maxie? Was this already in the works? That's all I want to know.
I will verify. I think the best way for me to answer that is just to let you know that I will verify with the NES that all the concerns are either being addressed or are not, and whether we can viably do a live broadcast with Q&A from call-in listeners that will be broadcast live on our air at the various stations. So I will, again, I don't believe there's any intention or desire to subvert the bylaws here. I think moving to the media centers was simply a production value. That's really what it was all about. But I will verify that. That's probably the best way for me to answer that. I will verify and report back to the chair.
Okay, very good. So thank you, Adrian. Bill, did you want to speak? Are you on the stack?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure we need a motion either. I mean, we just need to say follow the bylaws and let us know how you're going to do it. I will say that I know that listener call-ins have been abused significantly in the past to the advantage or disadvantage of certain candidates, especially when candidates have their friends call in and ask pointed questions. And it particularly puts new people at a disadvantage who don't know some of the history of our internal politics, for example. So that we just have to be fair. We have to make sure it's fair to all the candidates. I agree we need to follow the bylaws. And I hope we can figure out a way of doing this and also produce good quality videos, because I thought they were useful and they're more interesting to for a lot of people prefer watching stuff than listening to a long, you know, on-air thing. Plus, most people are not going to listen or watch live anyway. They're just not going to be tuned in at that time. So it's more important, I think, to have something that people are going to want to listen to or watch later in the archives and have frequent early announcements to how to find the forums online, because that makes it more available to much more people. But I don't think we need a motion for this. Okay. Just, you know, follow the bylaws.
Bill, I understand your viewpoint, Bill, and I'm going to rule you out of order. There is a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. I think that I'm going to take a moment to speak in favor of it, and that is because in the last election, I don't believe that this particular line in the bylaws was implemented. And I think it is valid because of that to pass this motion. Anyway, that's my opinion, but it's up to the PNB to vote on it. Was there somebody else there who wanted to speak?
Dwayne wanted to speak.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just kind of want to tag on to what Bill said. I think that's a red herring. Anytime we want to try to avoid free speech, whether an individual asks an individual to call or not, I think the public is intelligent enough to make a decision as to what may be a planted question, whether it influences them or not. But I don't think we ought to be afraid of having an open discussion, allowing the public to weigh in with questions. We've done it at KPFT numerous amount of elections. In fact, the majority of elections in the last 6 or 7 years, with maybe an exception of last year. But we should encourage such activity, not be afraid or discourage it.
Thank you, Dwayne. Mansoor, where are we on time?
We got 1 minute. He got 1 minute okay. left.
So, I
want to make a comment, if you don't mind, and that is the reason that last time we didn't have on-air stuff, because we, at least for KPFK, it was during the fund drive. So that's why it didn't happen.
Okay, thank you. Lawrence, please read your motion, and then we're going to take a vote on it.
Does you want me to read the motion, sir, that you send it?
Yes, please. I did. Would you like me to read it for you?
Yeah, can you read it? Because I'm indisposed.
Okay. The PNB requests that the NES implement the following section of the bylaws for this election cycle. Article 4, Delegates, Section 6, Fair Campaign Provisions. All candidates for election as a listener-sponsored delegate shall be given equal opportunity for equal airtime, which airtime shall include time for a statement by the candidate and a question and answer period with call-in listeners. Okay, since there seems to be some objection to this motion, I'd like to take a roll call vote. Bill?
Okay, well, if everybody else wants to do it, I'm not going to object. It's okay. It just states the bylaws. If you're just doing a roll call because of me, then I won't object.
Okay. All right. So is there any objection to this motion?
Yes.
Hearing no objection.
Yes.
Okay. Is that Muscula?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. So let's go to a roll call vote.
Okay, Grace here. I'll skip you. Gary Bose is absent. Robin Collier?
Pass.
Robin passes. Chris Corey? Can't hear you, Chris. Bill Crozier passes. Donald Goldmacher? Can't hear you, Donald. Jan Goodman? Can't hear you, Jan. Can you,
sorry,
you all hear me?
I was on mute. Yes.
Oh, okay.
We can hear
okay,
you.
Okay.
Goldmacher,
okay.
I think, is absent, and I'm...
Oh, yeah. That's right. Thank you. All right. Jan votes yes. Thank you. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Sabrina votes yes. Wally James?
Pass.
Wally passes. Dwayne Lark? can't hear you, Dwayne. Adrienne LaViolette?
Pass.
Okay, Adrienne passes. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Ralph O'Jess? Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence O'Jess? Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean votes yes. Eileen Rosen?
Pass.
Eileen passes. Mansoor Sabah?
Pass.
Mansoor passes. James Egerton?
Pass.
James passes. Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Nancy votes yes. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Alex votes yes. Tom Voorhees is absent. Muscular Washington?
Abstain.
Muscular abstains. Okay, going back. Let's see. Gary Bost is absent. Robin Collier?
Yes.
Robin votes yes. Chris Corey? Can't hear you, Chris. Maybe you're muted. Bill Crozier abstains. Donald Goldmacher?
He's not on.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you. Wally James?
Abstain.
Okay, Wally abstains. Dwayne Lark? Oh, you voted, sorry. No, actually, I didn't hear you, Dwayne. Okay. Dwayne abstains. Adrienne LaViolette?
Abstain.
Adrienne abstains. Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
I'll go yes.
Okay. Eileen votes yes. Mansoor Sabah?
Abstain.
Mansoor abstains. James Egerton?
Yes.
James votes yes. Okay. Let me count. We have 10 yes. Zero no's and six abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Before that, did Chris Corey vote?
No, I didn't hear him.
Chris, are you on the call? I guess he is not on the call at the moment. Okay, chair votes yes.
Okay, it'll be 11 yes. Okay.
Okay, this motion passes. Thank you, Lawrence.
Madam Chair,
all right.
Timekeeper. Madam
Thank
Chair,
you.
Timekeeper.
Okay. Yes, Mansoor?
Well,
I think we're out
like
of time for this.
Yeah, I would like to relinquish my duties as a timekeeper right now as I'm busy with other things. So maybe Adrienne can pick it up from here.
Okay, Adrienne, can you pick up the timekeeper chores for both the people and the agenda items?
Madam Chair, may I have a point before we leave this topic? And after Adrienne?
Just a very quick point because we're out of time for this.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jan or Adrienne.
Yes. Okay. So my very quick point is that I would request that the executive director and the NES and the station managers coordinate so that the important period just before the voting and during the voting when we're trying to get people to vote not be during a fund drive. And the time be allocated for these on air forums because you know if we plan ahead we should be able to plan ahead from now until then so that all those things can be coordinated in a reasonable way.
Good point, Jan. The next thing on the agenda is Maxie's report. So we can
Grace.
He can respond to that if he wishes to. Adrienne, is that
point,
you?
It is. Point of personal privilege. I'm so sorry. I was in front of my computer and now not again because I thought Mansoor was gonna just take it over for the whole meeting. So I'm so sorry, but I can't do timekeeper. Can someone else do it?
Yeah. Is there anyone else out there who can do that? Please?
Nancy will do it.
Good, Nancy. So can you do it for both the people and the agenda items?
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay, that would be great. Okay, thank you, Nancy. The next thing is executive director report, and that's and Q&A, and that's 20 minutes. Maxie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the executive report carries over some things that have been reported in the last special meeting and the meeting prior. In addition to my normal participation in Pacifica National Board, Pacifica National Board Committee and staff conference calls, one of the initiatives that I've been moving forward on, trying to basically do, if you will, research and development, is on meeting with vendors who provide customer relationship management integrated platforms, otherwise known as CRM. There are two services that I'm looking in great detail at. One is called Salesforce. The other, Station Admin, which is currently implemented at KPFA. The intent is to look at a system that can be used universally across the network, if not at least the majority of the network. I'm still receiving proposals relative to this inquiry. These meetings have taken place both in person and by phone over the last 2 weeks. A little bit more on CRMs. They provide technology support for fundraising, provides reporting and benchmarking against other aspects of the non-commercial media industry, as well as non-commercial entities not in media, provides automated reminders to donors, and direct mail is the primary tool. The heightened return on investment is pretty substantial, but I'll present all that when I when I conclude my investigation of these services. Just another effort to try to upgrade Pacifica systems. I've also met with firms specializing in major donor cultivation and donor assessment and prospecting. This is in the nascent stage, nothing further to report at this time, but certainly something that I will update you on when, in fact, I had a few other meetings with folks who provide this service. A real quick sidebar on this. What the research is telling us throughout the entirety of the non-commercial media space is that media organizations, whether they be NPR affiliates or community radio stations, grossly underperform when it comes to major donor cultivation and support. There's a lot of money being left on the table, and a lot of it is being left on the table because of poor assessment and prospecting. And so this initiative, if you will, that I've undertaken is really designed to see how we can maximize yet an additional revenue stream that right now is part of our repertoire, but one that we do not do very well at any of our stations presently. Next item, I really don't have any update on the Pacifica National Office relocation and our staffing at this moment. The KPFA GM and I will resume discussions between the dates of June 15th through the 18th when I'll actually be in Berkeley. Part of my trip, actually right in advance of that, is closing out the existing contract and giving 60 days notice on the property that we're presently leasing. Other discussion items with the KPFA GM you're already aware of, but include location and logistics within KPFA as well as staff selection and how we can either share a person or satisfy our need for an employee per the board in some other manner. Next update is on the weekly business manager meetings. If you don't know already, every Wednesday, NEPA, the ICFO, myself, meet with the business managers. It's an opportunity to focus the work being done towards the audit, as well as other financial management and accounting aspects of the operation. wanted to provide some clarity, and to her credit, Tamara addressed this earlier, but there was an exchange in emails, and I just wanted to give clarity on this, that when the auditors provided a client request list, that request was primarily sent to NETA. I was CC'd on that as well, as I believe some other members, perhaps even of this board. George, who we are all familiar with, does a lot of this work towards the audit's completion, indicated that the list is not something that is usually distributed, but as Tamara mentioned, a representative of NETA was in ongoing contact with the GMs and business managers to fulfill the information request. I'm only bringing this up because we have a tendency to believe that things are falling through the cracks with respect to making the business managers aware of requests. That's not, I would argue, the case. We meet with them regularly, and there are conversations that happen even outside, actually quite readily, outside of those Wednesday meetings. And so I just wanted to provide a bit of clarity on that and assurance that list, even though it was not submitted to the business managers directly, had been addressed in ongoing conversations. Next point, financial management handbook is something that was brought up in previous meetings. It is near completion, according to Anita Sims with NETA, NETA. There's an estimated time of arrival of that document for mid-August. But it's almost done, but there's some review process that has to go through. Next update, we meet with the program directors and general managers also on a weekly basis. We took some time off during the pledge drive just because of the heavy workload that they incur during that period. But quickly to update some of the things happening with the GMs, emphasis was placed upon accounts receivable to the Pacifica National Office, Central Services being central among those, as well as paying for the elections from 2018. Additional focus on ensuring audits are a primary focus of the business managers per usual. Last piece is an update on the weekly program director meetings. Back in May of 23rd, we had a webinar with RRC Radio Research Consortium Executive Dave Sullivan. Many of you are aware of that, particularly if you're on the programming committee. Demonstration of base package for our PPM audience data was provided, a demonstration of Ranker, Monthly Binder, and other tools used to understand and analyze and report our audience was provided. It was an eye-opener for all of our PDs across the board. None of our PDs had ever borne witness to this software and the tools therein. I presented RRC data to the PMB Programming Committee on this past Tuesday. And further updates regarding the PD meetings, today we met to address some of the Programming Committee proposed motions that we'll discuss later on this call. I will share perspectives provided by the PDs during the discussion of those motions. And then lastly, Ursula Rudenberg of the Pacifica Affiliate Network joined today's call and received constructive criticism from the PDs regarding the use of audio port. It was a really well-received call by not only Ursula, but the PDs. It was a very constructive, as I said, call. And more importantly, a lot of solutions were forwarded with respect to how to make audio port perhaps more useful for the stations, but also to the entire affiliate network, putting some emphasis on content produced at the stations. So that is my report. If there are any questions, I'm more than willing to answer.
Thank you very much. Before we move on, Maxie, is this report in writing?
Yes, I'll forward it to Bill as soon as we finish our conversation. The Q&A.
Okay,
Jan,
very good.
Jan Goodman for the staff.
Okay, yes.
You can send it directly to the... you can send
I'll
it to, PD, to the LS, to PMB, sorry.
Yeah, Maxie, can you send it just directly to the PMB?
Yeah, I can. I think I have – I'm not sure my address is complete for everybody. So, Bill, if you could kindly send me the most updated group email, if you will.
that would be helpful, but I certainly
it's
wouldn't
just, it's pnb@pacifica.org. Anybody can send mail to that, and it goes to all the directors.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do that right away.
Thank you. Thank
Very
you.
Simple. Okay, so we have Jan, I believe, and then Lawrence, and who else wanted to be on the stack? Anyone there? Okay.
Jan is here.
Jan? Okay, Jan, go ahead.
So maybe I was, maybe I misunderstood because I may have, but did I understand you to say that the employee handbook would be ready in August?
Not the employee handbook, the financial management handbook.
Oh, okay, gosh. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. I
no
thought,
problem.
How could that be? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that's all.
Thanks, Jan. Lawrence?
Yeah, I don't know who could answer this question, but Matty, in one of the financial reports that you provided, I believe, for our May 9th meeting, there was an item there, American Arbitration. Can you tell me what that's about?
I'm sorry, what's it called?
The item was for $25,000 for American Arbitration.
Okay, I have a point of order. That's a legal matter.
Okay.
Lawrence, if you call me after the meeting or something, I can give you details.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. Anything else, Lawrence?
Well, that was it. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else for the stack to ask Maxie questions? Anyone? Okay, I have a question, Maxie. Can you possibly have someone explain in writing the plan for standardizing the membership and other databases across the network? That's what I believe that's what you were referring to with Salesforce.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
So, partly, yes. It's a little bit more encompassing than just that, but it certainly would include that aspect. In fact, it's one of the reasons why I'm investigating this, because as we all know, having accurate databases is an issue. The beauty of a system like Salesforce, for instance, is because direct mail email in particular happens so frequently or frequent enough, when emails bounce back, the station is automatically triggered that email is at that email address is no good. The same thing happens with credit cards. If you've got sustainer programs, if your credit card doesn't work, if the credit card in the system for some reason is no longer working, the station is alerted so that they can reach out to the donor and verify a new card. It's a highly secure and cloud-based system. And there are others like it. So Salesforce is one of the primary ones I'm looking at because it's got a significant presence throughout the non-commercial media environment. But it's just one of many. And again, there's one that's produced by KPFA that I'm investigating as well.
Oh, okay. So eventually, can you have somebody or yourself give an analysis of the different possibilities, but it seems like it's premature for you to do that at the moment or have someone else do it. So just keep in mind that PMB would probably be interested in understanding what software was being seriously considered. Okay, who else would like to be on the stack?
Can I just have a point of clarity, though, before we go further?
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand when you say it's premature for me to be what's premature? Me to investigate this or to provide a report?
No, I think it should be investigated. But I think that giving a detailed report on what the opinion is of which software package would be best, you know, you're still investigating different software packages and speaking to the technical staff and the GMs. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So when it gels a little more, have? Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Okay, who? Okay, thanks, Maxie. Happy to clarify. Anyone else for this, Jack?
Bill.
Bill, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, you may recall that at KPFT last winter, the people there decided they would switch from MIMSIS to Allegiance, which is yet another member database system or CRM. And I told them that, you know, you were looking at trying to find something that would work for all the stations, but for whatever reason, they're moving ahead with that. They say they like it. I'm in no position to judge whether it's any good or better or worse than the others.
Very nice program today.
Oh, it was. Nice. Somebody needs to mute themselves.
Needs to mute their phone.
Who was good, too.
Whoever's talking about a very good program today. We
somebody
heard you.
Needs to mute. Yeah.
So I just hope we don't have to go through yet another generation of, and I agree it would be very advantageous to have everybody on using the same platform, but I also want to encourage you to make sure you talk with the membership coordinators at each station, because they're the ones that really know how they use it, what they use now, and what they like and don't like. And so we make sure that you can, you know, serve their needs.
Yeah, that is part of the process. That conversation actually has been had with the general managers, is how I got wind of the system in play at KPFA. Even though KPFT wasn't particularly mentioned, I'm glad you did, so that I can look into that one as well. I'm familiar with Allegiance and Blackboard and some others. I'm not as favorable of those, having used them in the past. However, systems are always modifying their services and the utility of their packages. And so, you know, I'm certainly open and willing to consider them moving forward. But yeah, absolutely. This is not going to be one of those things where, you know, I try to make a decision, and I'm certainly going to bring it to the board, but it will be an informed evaluation with station involvement. No question about it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Adrian to the staff.
Okay.
The Wayne for the fourth time.
Who is that? Adrian?
Yes.
Wayne has requested to be on the stack before Bill.
Yeah, I can't. Who is that? I can't.
Dwayne Larson.
This is
Dwayne.
My fourth
time
requesting to be on the stack.
Yeah, no, you just were not clear. I'm sorry, Dwayne. Dwayne and then Adrian. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, I just want to caution the ED about Salesforce. I've had the privilege or disprivilege of using Salesforce for at least the last 5 to 10 years as a CRM user in sales. It is tailored particularly for firms or organizations or entities that do a lot of interfacing with their clients. Now, my experience is that we touch our clients one or twice to get money. I think that you ought to, Mr. ED, consult with some of the larger stations around the country. And I think whether you talk to the GMs or the, as it was suggested, to the membership coordinators, all that's fine. But Salesforce and a few others are specifically designed for salespeople. That's the whole purpose why it was brought to fro. A CRM generally will send out emails, drift emails, all kinds of things when you're trying to communicate with specific clients and then trying to get new clients. But I believe there's software and other CRMs that are more tailor-made for what we try to do in radio than sales.
Now,
that's my comment.
Sure, if I can respond.
Very good points, Dwayne. Thank you. Next is Adrian.
May I respond to Dwayne before we go to Adrian?
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the comments, Dwayne. I assure you, I've done some investigation. First and foremost, NETA strongly recommended I meet with Salesforce, and I've had two meetings actually with them. It should be noted that 30% of the non-commercial media membership donors go through Salesforce software. So while I certainly will acknowledge that you have experience with it as a sales rep, it is actually a tool highly utilized in the non-commercial media space. There are aspects of it that have been tailored to our system, and not only NPR stations, but stations that are in community radio and the like, and all different sizes. I am particularly concerned about its application to our stations, But recognize that while we may only speak to our constituents, our donors, if you will, once or twice a year, what this system is really all about is having a much more rigorous engagement strategy with donors, one that it would hopefully not be offensive and, you know, overwhelming, but certainly play to better cultivation and access to the potential of their giving. But your points are well taken, and I'm certainly investigating. And believe me, I've gotten negative response to every system I've looked at so far, including ones that I haven't even mentioned. So, I don't discredit what you're saying. I just want you to know that I'm asking questions relative to what you brought up.
I appreciate thank that. Cost-benefit factor.
Madam
cost
Chair,
thank
Madam
you.
Chair,
yes.
The timekeeper.
Yes. Yes, Nancy.
20 minutes are up.
Okay. I am going to ask for, I think, Adrian, you're on the stack. Do you still wish to speak?
I do, yes.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to extend this agenda item for 2 minutes so Adrian can speak, and then we'll go on to the next agenda item. Would anyone move that?
I'll move that, Ms. Robin.
Okay. And a second? Adrian, you want to second it?
Sure. I'll second.
Okay. Any objection to extending for just 2 minutes so Adrian can speak? Hearing no objection. Go ahead, Adrian.
Maxie, I don't know how far into the process KPFT is with using the software that they're wanting to use, but in an effort to have everyone using the same software, is it possible to put the brakes on this until a choice is made? Because not doing so sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it's a good point. I will say this, though. One of the good aspects or one of the value propositions of Salesforce and some of the other systems that I'm looking at is that no matter what we may be using currently, they can ingest the data from other systems. And if there's folks on the call who want to correct what I'm saying, if in fact I'm interpreting it wrong, but my understanding, and I've heard this from multiple of the services I've looked at, that they have the ability, the capacity to ingest everything from rival packages to even Excel spreadsheets, if folks are using that as their tool. So I believe we'll be okay. It's more an issue of training our people to be able to utilize and maximize the service.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And let me
okay.
Just, if I may just,
next.
No, I'm good. I'm
okay,
good.
Go ahead. Okay, very good. All right, we're on to basically agenda item 7, I think it is, committees and task forces, reports, and motions. And I'm not sure who goes first. I think we have some stuff from the programming committee. Are there any other committees and task forces that want to report? I think there's something from the affiliate task force as well.
Yes.
Is that's that correct, Robin?
Short report, yeah.
Okay. Why don't we start with that first, and then we'll go to the programming committee and the programming committee motions. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay. Well, we're trying to move ahead with gathering information about all the affiliates and the program producers and to try to gather basically the statistical information so we can really quantify what all the affiliate networks are. And so we're getting the task force started up. I'm working with Seth Carter, who's the business manager at the Affiliates Network. So we're open to people to help us do that. Reality is that you can't really do something like that with something like SurveyMonkey. You actually have to call and find out who in the station really knows. And so it's going to take a bit of work. But we really want to qualify what we have. So working with Ursula and Seth, looking for people to be involved, and also anyone that is interested in just improving the affiliates network. So anyone that is interested could contact me. We're also going to reach out to some of the affiliates themselves to see if they would help us. So I'll answer any questions about that and take anyone that's interested.
Okay, does anybody have a question for Robin at this time? Hearing no one, please feel free to email Robin directly if you have any questions or participate in the affiliate task force.